The epistle of James, or the letter by James, the brother of Jesus. But inspired by God. We consider James 1 verse 17 especially this morning. James 1 verse 17 that will serve as the text of our sermon. But let's read all the verses of chapter 1, God's holy and inspired word. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We read that far in God's Word. Text, as I said, is verse 17. We reread that verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Today is a day designated by our nation to give thanks to God. Our nation as a whole is supposed to give thanks to God. But not everyone can truly give thanks to God. Because there is a fundamental step before true thanksgiving can take place. There is a prerequisite to true thanksgiving unto God. Children, in other words, before you can truly give thanks to God, there is something very simple that must first happen in your heart. It's this. You have to believe that God is good. You have to believe that God is good. You might say, yes, yes, I know that, Pastor. God is good. Isn't that a little too simple for today? I know it. Let's move on to something more insightful, something new. God is good. Yes, I've heard that before, but let's dwell on that. Wait. There's something extremely profound here. Do you know why an unbeliever today in America cannot truly give thanks to God? Because he will not believe that God is good. Oh, he believes there is a God. Everyone knows there is a God. But this God does bad things to good people like me, he says. This God allows difficult things to come upon my life. He's not good. If God's not good, then the implication is he's evil. There's at least some evil, some wrong within him, and such a person who believes that cannot give thanks to God, but rather will attack him today. Well, let's not only talk about unbelievers. This should give us some insight into our own hearts. Why do we struggle at giving thanks to God? Why do we stop thanking him? Why do we murmur, as we've been considering in our series of sermons in past Sundays? Why do some of us gather, maybe not some, maybe many of us, why do many of us gather in God's house today knowing that we're supposed to give thanks, but we're finding it hard, very difficult to get in the right attitude of thanksgiving? Here's a very possible, probable answer to that. We are doubting God's goodness. We'll never admit that out loud. It's something so basic we should believe. But today we reinforce this basic, fundamental thought that we need to believe in order to give thanks, sincere thanks to God. He is good. He's good. He is good and worthy of all our gratitude. With James 1, verse 17, this Thanksgiving morning, we're to see this very truth. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this letter to be circulated to all kinds of churches, including our church today. And the main theme of the book is found in verse 22 that we read, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." James is explaining the necessity of good works. Thanks. Good works of thanks. And as he's explaining the necessity of good works, he is conscious of his audience. His audience is suffering. The people that he's writing to are suffering various trials and persecutions and temptations, as the context indicates. And in writing to these people who are suffering trials, he calls them to persevere in good works in spite of their hardships. And one of the issues, one of the problems is that these people are having, and we also have, is that as these people face temptations and to sin, temptations to give up the faith even, temptations to walk with the world because life is so hard, they begin to imagine that God, one who is the source of evil, he's not good. He's not good. And James' response to that, beginning in verse 13, let no man say that when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted, neither doth he tempt any man. And he goes on in verses 14 and 15 to explain where the temptation comes from. Not from God, he's not the source of evil. James is answering a very basic question of the problem of evil that many people struggle with, and even some of you struggle with. Where does this evil come from then? Is God good or is he evil because he's allowing this to come upon me? And James is insisting, no, God is good. And hence our text. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good. And in that way, in understanding that, we can give thanks. First, consider with me the good God as James explains it here in verse 17. Secondly, the good gifts that he pours upon us as James also speaks of the first part of verse 17. And then the good response we should have implied by James and the rest of God's word. First, the good God. Second, the good gifts. And then third, the good response. God is good. The true God is good. That's one of the basic attributes or characteristics of our God. In order to display God's goodness, James uses a particular name for God here in verse 17, the Father of Lights. This is one of the most beautiful names of God in the Bible, if you understand what it means. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of Lights. James is saying that God is the one who fathered lights. Any light that you see, he is the source of all lights. James is calling us to go back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1 again. Scripture often calls us to do that. Children, go back to Genesis 1, the first day of the week when God said, "Let there be light." You know how significant those words are? There is where James says God fathered or brought forth light. He is the source of light. And contrary to every evolutionist and theistic evolutionist who try to solve this problem by saying this can't be, that there's light before the sun, moon, and stars were created in the fourth day, we say, no, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. It proves that God is the Father of light, and he didn't need a sun and a moon and any stars to give light. He is the source of all lights, in the sky especially, but also the source of all lights everywhere else. When man makes fires, when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, and General Electric produces all sorts of lights and lamps in our homes, and we turn it on, flip the switch, the light doesn't come from man. Man can't even understand light. Light has its source in God. He is the Father of lights. How does each star shine, James is saying? How does the sun shine? Why is it so bright? Because God is light. And all these lights in the sky are reflections of an even greater light, the light of the world. That's something to be thankful for. On Thanksgiving Day, don't forget to be thankful for light. But now, how does this relate to God's goodness? Why bring up this idea of Father of Lights? This is why. Because light represents goodness. Light is a picture of God's goodness. In other words, light is a part of general revelation. Remember general revelation, essential students, catechism students? God reveals himself in the creation. He reveals who he is in every single part of this created universe. And when he shines lights in the sky, he is revealing to us this attribute especially, this characteristic of his. I am good, God is saying. I am good. Every time you see light, God's saying, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And to understand that this is really what light pictures or displays to us, God's goodness, think about the opposite of it, darkness. And we use this expression so much. Darkness is a picture of evil. That's why we say he is a very dark heart, meaning there is evil, wickedness within that person. Darkness represents evil and light represents good, goodness. God is the Father of lights. 1 John 1 verse 5 parallels this, saying, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Meaning in him is no evil. Because the light tells us, reveals to us, God is good. There's not even a little bit of darkness in him. You might say this morning, I know God is good, good, good in general, good, good mostly, but is there maybe a little bit of wrong in him? Feel that? James emphasizes, last phrase, neither shadow of turning. God is so bright, he is so much light that he doesn't even have a shadow. There's no darkness following him. Now, if you go around and you try to run away from your shadow, children, that dark spot that's either behind you or in front of you or beside you when the sun is shining upon you, you can't get away from that darkness. And you know what that tells you? That tells you you still have darkness. There's still evil in you. But with God, he doesn't even have a shadow that turns or goes wherever he goes, as you do. He is all goodness. That's what James is saying. No darkness, not even one little shade of darkness in him or shadow turning with him. General revelation proves to you and me, the lights of general revelation proves to you and me and to all mankind, this God is good, Father of lights. So when life is rough, beloved, when things aren't going your way, or when young people, young adults, you struggle with this theological idea sometimes, you think about the difficult doctrines of election and reprobation, and you wonder, well, is God good then? And you look at the bad things happening to people in this world, and you ask, is God good then? And bad things happening to me, is God good then? Look up. Look up at the sky again. And see God display to you with the bright shining of the sun and the stars and the moon. I am good. I am light, and there is no darkness, no shadow of turning with me. And if you and I are so hardened that we can stand before the glare of the sun and before the brightness of the stars in the sky and still deny his goodness today, I tell you, one day you will stand before his holiness, a synonym of goodness. And that light of his face will make you unable, and everyone else in this world unable, to deny his goodness anymore. General Revelation shows us the Father of lights in whom there is no evil. And that's special revelation too. That means God's word also displays that again and again and again. We can look up in the sky, we can look around us at the light, and we can look in his word. The best display of God's goodness is in Jesus Christ. We said the Son displays his goodness. Well, who is the Son of righteousness who has come with healing in his wings but Jesus? And we said that the stars display his shining goodness. And who is the star out of Jacob who has come but Jesus? He who lived that perfectly good life to display God's goodness. This goodness, James describes further as unchanging. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Notice this phrase now, with whom is no variableness or variation or change. His goodness is unchangeable. That's what James is saying. It wasn't that he was good in the Old Testament and now he's not good in the New Testament. It wasn't that he's good to Paul and now he's not good to me. It isn't that he's good to my fellow church member, but he's not being good to me. It's never that he was good to me in the past, and today he's not being good to me. No. His goodness is unchangeable. There's no variation in it. And James brings it out because there is a difference between the lights in the sky that you see and the God who is light. The sun, from the human perspective, James is writing, the sun rises, moves, and sets. The moon has its phases, sometimes full, but then sometimes half, and eclipse even. And the stars, as bright as they are, as big as they are, as we know them, they fade and they die. But God's goodness has no variableness, no change. I am a constant shining goodness unto you, God says. I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, Malachi 3, verse 6. So that even when the sun stops shining, and the sun will stop shining, God's goodness endures forever. We need to know this. We need to believe this. To give thanks today. Some of us are depressed. Some of us are angry. That's why we're struggling with sincere thanks. It's because we've lost sight. We've forgotten that God is good. Not necessarily intellectually thinking God is not good, but feeling as though God is not good. And that's a lie. That's a lie we must repent of. James says in the previous verse, verse 16, do not err, my brethren. Don't make this mistake, this sin, in deciding that God has some shadow of evil in him. No, God is only good. And in his goodness, he gives many good gifts. Many good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, James starts out this text saying. And he writes it this way because, remember, he's writing to those who are suffering, those who have many bad things happening to them. And when a people, when you and I, like the church back then to whom James was writing, when you and I are caught up in all the negatives in our life, we forget, we're focused on the bad, that we forget the good gifts. We become this cynical, this pessimistic, poor me bunch of people. That's not right, James says. First, remember at the good gifts that come down from above. There are many good gifts. Notice the present tense, which refers to a continuing action. Every good gift and every perfect gift is being from above, and then literally coming down. Is in the process of coming down from the Father of lights. Even while we are suffering, there are many good gifts coming. Like the rays of the sun, the many photons of light constantly pouring down upon us, radiating upon us, even though we're unaware of it and take it all for granted, so also God's goodness is constantly shining upon us many gifts, and we forget. We don't even think about them. There are invisible angels descending upon ladders toward us from heaven to give us gift after gift from on high, and we're oblivious to it. The hand of God's providence is open to give and to give and to give so much, and we often take it for granted. If we were to sit down and count our blessings as we should today, instead of being a person wallowing in the negativity, if we were to count our blessings with open eyes toward God in the heavens, we would be astounded. We would be surprised at how much more God has given than He has taken. And even if we've done extensive work in counting His blessings, we wouldn't even come close to half. Way in realizing how much God has blessed us. That's the point of James. Good gifts, perfect gifts are coming down from the Father of lights. We need to think about that today. Instead of making a list of what we lack, that's what a Christmas list is, isn't it? Instead of making a list of what we lack, that's what a Good Friday shopping list is, isn't it? A list of what we lack. We need to make a list of what we're getting, what we are receiving every day and every hour. Think about that today. All the material things, physical necessities and abundance, and all the spiritual gifts from heaven also. The unspeakable gift of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. The Comforter called the Holy Spirit. You know what? God has given us Himself. God has given us Himself. And with Him, the Father of lights, we have all the goodness we need. John puts it this way, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, John 1, verse 16. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Of His fullness, that means of Himself and all the fullness of His goodness that we received, and then grace upon grace, that's the idea. Like waves which come beating upon the sand again and again. Wave upon wave. Grace upon grace. He showers down from above. They continue to come from the Father of lights. And we call all these gifts. James calls them gifts because a gift is free. A gift is not something we earn. But it's something we don't deserve at all. We deserve the opposite of it. But Father gifts us with perfect and good gifts from above. Oh, taste, beloved, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste his gifts today. Yes, there's a question that still lingers in our minds. And it's a question that lingered in the minds of the people whom James writes to. But what about those evils? What about those bad things that happen from me to me? And we want, as sinful human beings, to blame God for them, say he's the source of them. Now we got to make a distinction. There are two kinds of bad things. There's the morally evil things, and then there's the circumstantially difficult things. The morally bad things and the circumstantially bad things. Let's talk about the morally bad things. That's what James is speaking of here. And his point is, no evil comes from God. He's good, no shadow of turning in him. If you're tempted to sin, to do evil, if other people are sinning against you with their evil hearts, let it never be that we point the finger up at God and say, you are the source of that. No, no. Never. That's blasphemous. God is never the source, the cause, the author of sin. And while James is speaking against any idea of God, the good God being the cause or source of sin, he doesn't deny that he is sovereign over it. He's sovereign over it. He's sovereign over all things. And in his sovereignty, he allows hardships and trials to come for our good. Because he is a good God that takes the hardships and takes the sins which have their source in our own sinful hearts. Our own sinful hearts. To use them for our good. Romans 8, verse 28. Sovereign God is the God of Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The difficult gifts from God, even, may never be received by us as we imagine that God is evil. No. All is for our good. And therefore, if all is for our good, and every good gift is from above, we should have a thankful response. A good response is thanksgiving to the good God. This is repeated in the Psalms, as I said. Four Psalms start with this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is good. Understanding that God is good should prevent pride. How can we? If we really believe that God is good and the fountain of every good gift, as James says, so that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, how can we ever say or think or behave as though we have somehow earned these gifts? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 speaks to you, young person, speaks to all of us. Who maketh thee to differ from one another? Why are you different from one another? Why do you have this gift and the other person not have that gift? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Is there anything that you have that you didn't receive of his grace? Now, if thou didst receive it, if you did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Why do you boast? Why do you glory? Why are you lifted up in pride, esteeming yourself better than others? If every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, pride is the very opposite of thanksgiving, because it glories in self rather than glories in the giver. Let us never glory in ourselves. If we are ever tempted to pride because we think, since I'm a better athlete, I'm a better mother, I have better well-behaved, I have better children, I'm a better church member, I have more true doctrine, I have any of these things, if we ever glory in self, let us look up again and be humbled by the vastness of the universe, and be humbled by how small we are once again, and especially be humbled by the very fact that every light has its source in God, and therefore every goodness, every good gift also does. It should prevent us from pride. It should prevent us from murmuring and anger and bitterness in our hearts. It should bring us to thanks. Saying thanks. Praying thanks. Not just congregationally, but as a family. Praying thanks to God. But beware. In our praying of thanks, there needs to be a sincere thanks in our hearts. Because thanks can be spoken with great insincerity and pride. I give you one example. I thank thee, Father, that I am not as other men are. Remember that? The Pharisee? Let that not be the kind of thanks that comes from our hearts. But let it be a humble thanks, sincerely believing that every good gift is not from myself, but from God. Then, along the lines of the theme of James to close, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Let there be not only a spoken thanks, let there be a worshipful thanks. It's good that you're here today in God's house because you've done what is right to give thanks to God. Let there be offerings of thanks. Let there be thanks not only on one day of the year. Let there be thanks not only on Sabbath days through the year, but let there be thanks whatsoever you do, in word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And at the end of the day, when you are done giving thanks to God, before you close your eyes and sleep, give thanks to Him for one more thing. That He has enabled you to see His goodness. But not everyone can see, so that you can give Him thanks. Amen. Let's pray. Father of lights, shine Thou upon us, not only the many gifts that Thou has, and Thou dost continue to shine upon us, though we are often oblivious to them. But shine also upon us thy face to enlighten us, to see and recognize more and more of thy goodness, so that we might be more and more thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.